At the end of episode 131 of RPG Ramblings, I put Don on the spot. I asked him to do a brainstorming session. This episode is that session. Caught flat-footed, he did a valiant job spitballing. We take the germ of an idea and develop it further. I plan to have different guests on the show to further develop this adventure. Follow along, brave traveler. The pulsating crypt of the crocodile god awaits.
You ready?
Yep.
Well, hello, Don.
Well, hello. Thanks for having me back for a fourth time.
You know, it's this. It's been great. So, I got this idea. Like, I don't know how to write adventures. We were talking this last podcast about writing adventures, mm-hmm. and like actually writing an adventure. I did it once. It's out there on DriveThruRPG. I really just need to take it down before any more people buy it.
Because it's embarrassing.
Yeah, I need to take it to the next level. The idea was you're on a basically your ship, and you it's called is it Odin's Eye? It's the idea is that your ship and you're sent to this planet for a reason, and you crash land, and it's like Mercury. It's it is close to the sun, and it's also what do you call it with your it's like always facing the sun.
Tidally locked.
Yeah, it's a tidal lock, but there's a slow rotation, so it's constantly doing it. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that you basically wind up in this base, and as you're exploring it, things lock up, and then there's terrible things that happen with robots, and basically as you go to get to the end, and as the robots are trying to kill you, is that these people were forgotten by a corporation, and they were left there, and there's no way for them to communicate out because of where they were at. And the corporation just through means of no ill intent, they just are corporations. They just somebody's forgotten right. about them, and these people are going to starve to death. So this person initiated a kill order for all the people in the base. So then the characters wind up and that kill order is still going. And these people all died horribly by these robots and come to find out why. But anyway, there's a few things that are missing in that, and it's okay. It's only $2, but still occasionally I get called to task for how come you don't have a map of the duck system? Because you do mention the duck system. I'm like, well, So the idea was I was going to create an adventure, and I went through the Tome of Adventure Design by Matt mm-hmm. Finch.
Yep.
And so I came across the title generator, and I put that on Twitter of these different titles that randomly generated.
Mm-hmm.
And after talking to Zach Goins about something else, and because of crazy things he said, I woke up at 2:00 in the morning with this going through my mind. Of doing this adventure. And one of the adventures created titles was The Pulsing Crypt of the Crocodile God.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you what I got so far, okay,
mm-hmm.
as a premise. And I don't know where to go from here. Because
mm-hmm.
I was starting to go down to some holes, and then I realized, you know what, I'm just duplicating what I'm talking to somebody else about for another project.
Right.
So I don't want to be doing that, because Jeff is only doing one So mm-hmm. the idea is that the Crocodile God was actually a demon. So a demon mm-hmm. 15,000 years ago was summoned.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happy. It kills people. It eats people. It's trapped. But there's a certain point where it says, you know what? I might as well find something to like about this. And starts creating this kingdom. And, well, it terrorizes people, eats people, and realizes, you know, this is only going to get me so far. And so it just starts basically extending its power, extending its reach. Has a little cult. Things are going pretty good for it. Gets a little slack, and then some clerics or maybe some magic users come in after a certain point, and they say, you know what, enough's enough, and they kill the cult for the most part. They don't decide not to kill the crocodile god, which is actually a demon or devil that has the looks, the appearance that is like a crocodile.
Mm-hmm.
They decide to, you know, they don't want to kill it because, you know, that could just eventually show back up. So they put it into a crypt bind it in such a way that it can't get out, but it's able to still reach out to the few remaining survivors of its cult. And over the next couple thousand years, nations have come and gone. Things have gone. The city's no longer there. It's been razed and repopulated, and things have been going on. But the cult's still alive. And the idea is that slowly this crocodile god's working out for a way for it to be released.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So how was it looking for a way to be released, or?
So my thinking would be that either the cult is trying to use the characters.
You're right, like the old bait and switch, like, hey, this is a god that needs to be released, so you kind of trick the players, right? Which is fun.
Or no, like there's treasure in here.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got the key to do it.
Right. So, yeah, is the crocodile god, like, is she consuming? I assume it's a she. I don't know why. It could be a he. It's an it. It's a demon. Is it consuming, like, bodies and souls to get more power? Or their magical items, like...
My feeling would be originally just like eating people, because it was angry and just enjoyed it. And in the end, it just really just likes doing bad things. So, but right now it's stuck. And if it comes out, the other thought would be that maybe nobody could face this thing off right away, but maybe it's weakened to a point. So part of this was an idea, which I aborted, but there's an idea where I thought, what if there's a race or a person, an architect, that could create machines that utilize magical beings for power. So they could take like a pit demon and utilize that to create anti-gravity for their floating island. And maybe some shadows, use that for like a healing fountain. And over time, these things are eternal beings. But, you know, once they finally escape, they're no longer what they were.
Right, right. Like the Tower of the Elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it'd be cool. Nah, you caught me off guard by this. Usually I'm like, yeah, I'll go on that show. It'll be easy.
So there's a couple it'll thoughts. Be easy. You know, one thought would be, I thought about, even though the problems when another person's working on something that will be, that's going to be a time travel venture, I thought it'd be kind of cool. Is if because there's the pulsating part of the crypt. Like, why is the crypt pulsating? But I thought, well, maybe there's time travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe part of it is, you know, they go back in time where that city was. A city, but that's is also tying into, I've also, another person's writing an adventure for me that's the same thing. So I'm going right along those same lines.
Oh, yeah. So you want to stay, because I was like, oh, that'd be cool if the adventurers showed up because it was preordained, because their parents... had sold their soul. That's not even time travel, though. That's just linear time. Their parents had signed an agreement. This is like, you know, so they have to go. They just know they're supposed to go to this place. It'd be even cool if they were all just meeting there. And like, oh, yes, you fulfilled your destiny, and it's to feed your souls to the crocodile god so she can finally be released. I don't know.
So I was thinking it'd be kind of cool where it could go either way. Like, it would be interesting where, you know, maybe the crocodile god is released, or the demon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you either stop it or you don't. And if you don't, then, you know, bad things start happening in the world.
Right. Right. I even like, you know, so what is pulsating? Do you know yet?
No, it's the crypt is pulsating.
Right. Other than the nasty cloaca.
The nasty cloaca.
That's definitely pulsating. Yeah. You know, I kind of like this because I actually have this idea for, it's not a similar thing. It's just a crocodemon. But they just have to escape from. So I always like the idea of like a crocodile, you know, that's more than a crocodile.
Well, for me, the idea of the crocodile guy is to put in an area where there's no crocodiles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then it's like very like, why is there a crocodile god in the middle of this, on the top of this mountain in the middle of a continent?
And it only kind of resembles one.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, which I always like, you know, when someone's like, oh yeah, it's the blah, blah, blah. And it kind of looks like it roughly, but it's not actually, you know, it's not green and scaly. It's black and, you know, just a long mouth. You know what, Jeffrey? I would like something to do with, I don't know how this would work, but I want the cult to have been like moving its eggs out into the world, and eventually. Because then you can have, you know, oh, your adventurers are just, if you want, like, a hook to get them there, oh, they're just in this, like, town, and all of a sudden these weird mutant things pop up, and, they, you know, they're like, oh, they're from eggs, whatever. So then you kind of have a trail back. I just think eggs when I hear pulsating in cloaca. Or if, you know, or if her eggs were part of her power and she was kind of secreting it around the world and the cultists had to bring the eggs back and then she had to reabsorb them. So, you know, your party could have found an egg. Like, I just have a feeling that we have to go this way, and they're drawn by the egg, and then they have to figure out, you know, that it's bad. But I think there definitely should be a part where, yeah, this thing could get loose and change the world, because I always love adventures that are wide like that.
The other thing I thought is, you know, maybe the people that trapped her knew that it couldn't last forever, but there was something in the means that if she did, or she did escape or bounds, that there was another means for the characters to be able to handle this being of a lot of power, whatever that may be.
Right. Yeah. Like, they have this special weapon that is able to do damage, or they happen to have part of the spell.
Yeah.
You can actually have a bunch of different parties that have to meet up, and they're all kind of the descendants, and they have to, you know, maybe some of these people are dicks, so they have to work with that. And because then you added like a nice social aspect, you add your factions, which people love to have their factions in RPG dungeons.
Well, the thing is, I'm trying to also keep this, I didn't tell this to you, I'm trying short. To keep it to like 16 pages.
No, you gotta go big, Jeff. I'm talking 32 pages. No, so 16 pages, yeah. So you should have told me that earlier.
Yeah.
I'm thinking big.
But you know what? All my big projects start out small projects.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true. You know, I want something to do with... Oh, man.
The other thing I thought about doing is creating a some sort of, like, portal or juncture, maybe like the between whatever that crypt is and maybe a jungle that's, you know, thousands of miles away.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be part of it too.
Yeah. Like it was like that's kind of connected ancestrally.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, yeah, it'd be even cool, like, that the mountain is actually, it looks like a mountain, but it's actually, like, a giant thing that was built to contain this thing, like a ziggurat or a pyramid.
Yeah, it could be like a TARDIS.
Yeah.
It's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside.
Yeah, or even, like it's been there so long that all the dirt is, you know, the dirt is covered. You know, like, they used to find the... like the towns in like Mexico and stuff. And it was just like a lump and trees. And then by the time they like dug out all this stuff, it's like an ancient city, you know, like, cause time does that. And that it wasn't even that long a time. That was like, what, 600 years, 500 years, 400 years.
Well, yeah, in those types of places, it's like, it's easy to get lost. There's no, it's.
Right. Right. So it's definitely like, you know, and, you know, yeah, maybe it's bigger on the inside because it kind of goes down or it's just warped from like.
Well, but like I think maybe the jungle's on the inside.
Oh, the jungle. Oh, nice.
So you go into it, you enter into it, but it's actually a pocket dimension area.
Yeah, like a lost world sort of thing. But I mean, if you're saying, hey, here's a jungle in here, then that's going to be at least a mini hex crawl, and you're already adding pages to your small adventure.
Yeah, but the hex crawl would be the adventure.
Right, no, just to get there. But isn't the adventure the journey?
It could be. So in that case, the one is you could actually have the jungle location where it is a crocodile god, like whatever this may be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you could just go back to the other way and saying, well, they called it a crocodile because it looked like a god, like a crocodile, and it had divine abilities.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I like the premise so far. This is what I insist on having in the adventure. People that they look like people, but what they actually do, this is gross because I like body horror. Like they actually puke up like these eel-like things from their mouth, and that's actually like, it's not, is it eels? It's a, like larva that maybe, you know, this thing is incubated, and that's what the crocodile god wants, is like to eat these weird eel tentacles that have incubated in the
bodies of these people.
Yeah. Or maybe they're not even people. Maybe they're just husks and, you know, maybe it's a monster that she sends out.
So is your party then charged with taking these infested creatures to the crocodile god and then get there and realize this is a mistake?
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a nice angle. See, this is the problem with my adventures. I've heard in both review and people telling me that I write places that are just explored, and they maybe don't even have anything, like, it's just, like, there are no factions, there's a rough plot, you have to dig for it, and it's just a place to explore, and there's not enough going on. So that is what people say about my adventures, and that hurts. No, it doesn't.
I have a hard time reading anybody reviewing anything. In fact, anybody just saying they bought my product, my first response wants to be, I'm sorry.
I don't even care because I'm making $2,000 a year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of hard. So pulsating and crypt. So there has to be a pulsating crypt, and there has to be a crocodile god.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the only two things that have to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm having a problem with the pulsating. Like,
well, it could be like
not
breathing.
Quiver. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it could be, you know, people could just say it's pulsating because it's got the breath of the swamp in it. And, you know, what does that do? Like some miasma that kind of, you know, flows through occasionally in the tunnels. The pulsating breath of the swamp.
Yeah, for some reason, dimensional shenanigans or travel or piercings or time dilation, that kind of, for some reason... I guess also a heart pulsates too.
Right? Kind of beats. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like having like a gem heart beating is so overdone though. But no, I kind of like the bigger on the inside, and it actually like, see, I kind of like messing with players. Like, once you go in, like, and you go out again, you're actually in a swamp that has like this real temple, and it's not at all where you were.
Okay. Okay. So I like this better. So you go in thinking one thing, and then you come out and you are not in the same place.
Right. Yeah. It wasn't actually pocket dimension. It was actually a gateway, and you can't go back to where you were, like through the door, because once you leave, like this door transports you. You thought, oh, I'm in the same place. This is some weird inner, you know, dimension, pocket dimension, jungle, but you're actually were transported to a jungle where there's actually a ziggurat that doesn't look anything like what you saw from the outside.
Okay, so what we can have is, but there could be that they do something and they go back to the same ziggurat, and then it may not take them back, but maybe there's a completion there that.
Right. Like they actually, the doorway is in one place, but yeah, then you actually have to, you should have to climb on the ancient ziggurat to do something on the top. Even though it's kind of like sailors, starless seas, but it doesn't have to be a big fight. It just, maybe the pulsating heart is on top. It's kind of overdone though.
No, but the tomb's pulsating, so it could be the ziggurat pulsates.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there doesn't have to be a heart.
And maybe it doesn't pulsate all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think I like this. Not sure I'm going to go with it, but we like this. So the characters are going into this building. Do they know it's a tomb? Do they not know it's a tomb? Well, it's a tomb. Might... If it's a crypt, I should say. So there's got to be something in the crypt. So what's in the crypt?
I mean, wouldn't it be kind of. I always like mummified crocodiles, but I mean, that's too on the nose. But it's weird because there aren't crocodiles here because, right, it's a crypt nowhere near the swamp until you're transported there.
Yeah, then it makes sense. So there is there's these crocodiles, and they could just be, instead of like lizard men, it could be like crocodile kind of creatures.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Like maybe first they find like a knocked down broken statue that's like, oh, that's a kind of a crocodile head, and the next statue they find is actually like a bipedal humanoid crocodile-ish head. Like, whoa, that's not at all what we thought.
So the crocodile god, that's a crypt. So is the crocodile god still a crocodile god, or is it just a creature that's worshipped? Like, is like a giant? It could be just like. Could go like sword and sorcery. It could just be a giant, you know, a giant crocodile that has to be dealt with.
What if they force this demon into the giant crocodile? And you know what? There could be hints that they actually. I want to say if they kill the crocodile, that's what actually releases the demon into the world. So there's actually some kind of ritual they have to do where they're kind of like not mummifying it, but they're kind of like trying to do something to actually bind it again. Like it's time that the binding has to happen because.
So do you think the same adventure, but not having it a crocodile would be better and have a different theme?
No, I kind of like that. But, you know, I swear I maybe just saw some Goodman games that had some, like, crocodile priest, and maybe that's why I love the imagery so much. Because it would work, it would work just as well if the demon was just a other shape, right?
It could have a crocodile. I think what probably better just a giant crocodile. Maybe the demon was manifested into a crocodile, but it's warped its body, and so it's not just a giant crocodile, but it may be a demonic crocodile.
Yeah, because then you can like make it like a weird shape, and I don't know, you can put tentacles on it instead of a tail.
Yeah.
Tentacles must go all over.
Yes, and we could still have the priest just puking up the eels.
Yeah.
So the question then is, does the adventure, so they go into the crypt,
mm-hmm.
and it's, let's say, in a mountain. Let's say it's what they call it, like twinning. It's just like maybe two things that are just tied together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they go into the first. Why are they going into the first one?
I mean, I like the idea that their ancestors were part of the binding ceremony, and they just, like, they always heard these tales, like, it could be your generation that has to go and, you know, reseal. So they're actually there to do this thing, but they don't know the details all the way, maybe. Or maybe over the years, word of mouth has been corrupted, and they have to maybe investigate to find out the real way they're supposed to bind this thing again. And maybe they'll be like, you know, oh, what if we kill it? Like, maybe the cultists are going to try and make them kill it to release the demon completely.
So maybe they send every so often people from the village in there without, and they thinking that they're going to do a certain thing, like, you know, mm-hmm. We're going to serve a god in heaven. And they all of a sudden open up and they're like, no, this is not what this is.
Right. Right. The puked up eel things can actually, they can be shown like cleaning the binding sigils off the skin of the crocodile. That's how they're releasing it slowly.
Well, we could have it with the crocodile. Yeah. So it's, yeah. So maybe they get there prematurely?
The people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because then they have to, like, you know, they can come upon the scene of, like, I don't really know. This is my, yeah. You really put me on the spot.
I did, Don. This is a tough, I mean, this is literally just sprung at you with nothing. It's kind of hard, too, because there's nothing else really to go to other than pulsating crypt and crocodile guy.
Right. I mean, you know, what would be really cool is, like, you have a few levels. You know, like, the pyramid on the inside isn't full of rooms. It's, like, a room, and then there's a, you know, big thing. But I want the players to be able to step out on, like, one of the steps of the ziggurat and realize they're not actually in a mountain in where they were.
So really the tomb could actually be, the crypt could actually be a ziggurat in the jungle, and mm-hmm. the door through the mountain actually just takes you into the jungle.
Yeah.
And then you could have like several locations in the jungle area.
But I definitely think that they need to think that the crypt is in the mountain. And then they're very surprised to be transported into a different climate hemisphere.
Okay. So the other thing, too, is, you know, so if they're going to fight, like, bigger level creatures, they're going to mm-hmm. probably need to be higher level characters.
Yeah, see, this is the thing that DCC does well. Like, they'll throw this at first level characters and just not make it very strong, you know.
And that's a possibility, too.
Yeah.
And because, you know, talking about the demon could be weakened, and so therefore...
Yeah, weakened. Like part of the puzzle, you know, because I like puzzle combats, is they need to, instead of focusing on the writhing, bulging crocodile demon thing, like these puked up eel people, like they need to kill them, because the more they let them chew the sigils off of the skin, then the stronger the crocodile gets. So it's like, you know, and you have to broadcast that, like, it looks like, you know, it just got larger, as you know. And I have a hard time with giving not enough hints or too many hints, but I think in this case I wouldn't have a problem saying it seems like, you know, the more that these puked up eels eat off the crocodile, the bulkier it becomes and the louder.
Or the thing could be is like maybe the stuff they encounter earlier is not obvious that they need it, but once they get to the crypt, then it becomes very, maybe something makes it obvious that the stuff they need is actually stuff they've already passed by, and it's a race mm-hmm. against time against maybe threats that you've already kind of demonstrated are exist in the jungle.
Yeah. Because then, I mean, like, you know, to rebind it, it could be just certain pillars in the room need to have, you know, some ancient crystal in the right spot, and that lowers like a magical net and binds to the skin again. So, you know, they got to figure it out.
They do. Well, I think, Don, I've tortured you probably enough. I've put you on the spot after an hour's discussion. I think mm-hmm. what I have is I think a pretty good direction for where to go next. So what we do is some stuff is a little bit off, you know, may or may not, but we do have mm-hmm. a reason they're going to have to go there. They're going to be surprised when they go through the jungle or go through the doorway mm-hmm. and they're in a different location. They're going to know that there's going to be a place that they need to go to, which would be the ziggurat. For whatever mm-hmm. reason, that's the place they need to go. And then there is going to be the crocodile gods, whatever that's going to be, is going to be there, and they need to stop it before it becomes whatever.
Right. Like released from the body of the crocodile.
You know, and it could be another option would be is, you know, some thoughts could be is just come up with different ideas why characters would be going there.
Right.
And say, you know, this is a thing. If you want it to be a heroic adventure, if you want to be this kind of adventure, or this kind of adventure, here's three or four different ways to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm good footing, Don.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah. I don't know where to go. It may languish for 5 or 6 years until I finally just put mm-hmm. it away, but at least I'm a little bit further on that path.
You know, I might have to hit you up and say this is a perfect Ruination pilgrimage adventure and we're gonna do it together.
I'm gonna tell you what, Don, if you ever want to do an adventure together, we'll do that.
Yes. We'll put on the back burner together.
Yes, exactly. We can both delay it for our own reasons. Mm-hmm. But always be able to say we're working on it.
Mm-hmm. Has anyone ever made this joke before? I've been dying to say this.
Okay.
You know, for people in the listening podcast world, I put my Zoom title as me. Huh?
I saw that right in the beginning.
And
yes.
Me?
Oh, I didn't catch that.
Jones and
I
me?
Did not catch it. No, you are.
I haven't
first.
Said hello, Mr. Jones.
You know, I'm a little oblivious sometimes.
It was a really deep joke, and I don't like the song. So,
well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I was listening to a podcast about Hootie and the Blowfish.
Okay.
And they, I like it. Yeah, they basically changed. They basically hit grunge right when grunge was ending, and they kind of like changed one of the directions of music at that point. And I forget who did that. The Counting Crows.
Yeah, I think it was Counting Crows.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's this, you know, they talk about how much it really is. You can almost hear Darius Rucker sing it a little bit differently, but it's just like it definitely goes to show that, it hit, doesn't really mean much.
So we can blame them for everything that was bad in the 90s, music-wise, because there was a lot of crimes against humanity.
Well, that, and even they were mentioning how, listening to the different podcast, the same podcast, they were talking about the British pop, and they kind of influenced, basically, it sounds like grunge only lasted for like an album or two, and Nirvana, all those people, they actually changed to pop music. And the tonality changed pretty quickly. Which made me realize that nothing really lasts very long.
Not even the stars last forever.
No. Nothing lasts forever, but the Earth and Sun. I don't know. What's Kansas?
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'm going to develop a new podcast persona where I just say funny stuff in a Batman voice like that. Night of the Stars lasts forever, Joe.
You know, let's do a short. We'll do that sometime. But not tonight.
Not tonight. You already got 2 weeks of content. You're welcome.
I do. I know. If I do that, I got 3 weeks of content. Now we know how I operate.
Three weeks. Nice. Yeah.
Well, thanks, Don, for helping me stretch us out and at least buy me some time.
Oh, yeah. It's my specialty.
Well, and the thing, too, the whole idea is some people have mentioned that they kind of would like to know that whole journey as far as making adventures and how things mm-hmm. are done. So it's like, you know, the brainstorming and thinking it through. I don't know. I figure it's up to other people to determine whether it's worthwhile or not. So.
Yeah. No. I mean, you could actually go, you know what? I've often wanted to do that as like a podcast, like just have people on. Tell me about your, but maybe they don't have any interest. I mean, there's something interesting, Seed. I don't know if I mentioned this before. I'm sure I have somewhere. Like Isle of the Plangent Mage was like inspired by an NPR segment on Navy, the sonar and effect on whales and dolphins. Like I got a fantasy adventure out of that. Like,
you know, it goes to show how, if you're open,
mm-hmm.
You know, there's a musician, songwriter, Rich Mullins, and one of his lyrics is, everywhere I go, I'm looking. And mm-hmm. the idea is if you just have your eyes open to possibilities, mm-hmm. there's a lot of inspiration everywhere.
Yeah. And it can be anything in any form.
Yeah, and that's kind of interesting how those things do work out. And it's even going back to, you know, doing the title, some, you know, an adventure based on a title. I did a podcast of going through the mm-hmm. The Tomb of Adventure Design, generating these titles. Now, most of them are just actually terrible. And that randomly generating titles is just almost never really works out well. You have to do it like 100 times to get like two or three good ones. And somebody was mentioned they can't work that way. But I thought, but once I start doing a title, I start thinking of ideas. So,
yeah. That is actually interesting because I usually have the idea first and it takes me a little while to come up with the title. But I have goofy titles too, you know, like Forgotten Rites of the Moldering Dead. Like, it's a bit much.
Well, what do you mean it's a bit much?
I don't know. It's kind of over the top, isn't it?
But I think for what you're trying to do, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Right. The adventure's a bit much. Your title better be a bit much.
I'm actually going to give credit here to Sean McCoy because I think Sean's been involved in most of my naming. And, like, he'll come up with a word or two, and then we'll bounce that around, and then I'll come up with the other half. So, yeah. It's good to have a friend like Sean McCoy who you can text ideas to.
That it would be nice, and eventually he may be replaced with a Sean McCoy chat GPT.
Oh. AI.
I guess we don't need to round off with that. But interesting, when I did an adventure, I was doing travel adventures, and I did one off of the Cake's short dress, long jacket.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So the idea was, you know, they were trying to, the spaceship was gone. This person they thought was kidnapped. Well, they ended up meeting her, but she just arranged the whole thing. Mm-hmm. She's not really the victim. She's actually the perpetrator.
Oh, nice.
And I also put elements of the song in there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they met her at a bank and, you know, there's a number of things. They named her I forget what her name was, but I just,
nice.
And did the whole thing. So it's kind of, you can take, you know, just even mundane stuff like songs and create something fun out of it.
But yeah. I mean, I do that stuff a long time. Like, I think every ship generator or every ship listed in, I know at least Pound of Flesh for Mothership is a Behemoth song title because they have those epic titles. And then a lot of the drugs were named, Sean named them after Wu-Tang songs.
Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah. So there's like, there's Wu-Tang in there, and then there's Behemoth. Like,
well, I was listening to a Grateful podcast talking about the Grateful Dead. I'm not necessarily a big fan of. I was a very fan of. They're actually an amazing band. I just don't really care much for most of their music.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But I like some of their music a lot. It's just the rest of it I don't. But it's like all these titles, like these would make it great for a sci fantasy setting, this and that. And so I started searching song titles, and it's like, this is just too much work.
Yeah. I hope no one steals this idea, because one of my goals in my life before I die is my favorite Iron Maiden song is probably Revelations. And I want to somehow make an adventure of just that song.
That'd go good for your Ruination pilgrimage, wouldn't it?
You know what? Probably would. Because that lady with a serpent kiss, right? I love it. Don't steal it, people.
Or maybe they could steal it and they can publish under your Ruination pilgrimage, and that'd be one of the adventures.
Yeah. I was just like, they cannot do it as good as me, Jeff. And well, I'm like, oh, that's arrogant. Damn it. I got to chill it out. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, well, if somebody does, just talk to you, Don, before they go too far with it, right?
Yeah.
They'll ruin it. You know I'm ruining it.
Yeah. Don't make a bad one. Make a good one.
Yeah, it's kind of like these Marvel movies. Like, why doesn't somebody come to me and just say, Jeff, would you look at this movie and tell me if it's good or bad before we put it in the theaters? And I can say, yeah, it's terrible. You took all the joy and wonder out of the previous movies, stripped it into just a nonsense movie. Like, what's wrong with you people? Yes, Ant-Man 3, I'm looking at you.
You know, it's so sad because Ant-Man is one of my favorites, like the first one.
Oh, yeah.
It's just great. It's great.
I love the second one even more. And then they turned it into whatever the third one was, which wasn't. I told somebody when they shrink them down to the point where everybody's small and everybody's, the whole small gimmick is gone. Like they lost the whole, his whole purpose is he gets small and he's dealing with the normal world while he's small. That's the gimmick.
Yeah.
You take that away.
Yeah. Interesting. I never thought about that. I saw it once.
Yeah. I'm glad I saw it once. I'm glad I saw it.
Yeah. I mean, they all can't be Guardians of the Galaxy 3, you know.
That was decent. That was very decent.
Decent. That's the finest trilogy and Christmas special ever created.
Well, I may give you a Christmas special. You know, I thought it was terrible. I thought it was absolutely awful. But compared to Star Wars, it's genius.
It was, I mean, I thought it was hilarious. They're, the whole shtick of going and kidnapping Kevin Bacon is great.
Yeah, I'm not gonna poo-poo it because you love it.
I'll just think, wow, he's never been so wrong in his life.
Yeah. I thought Kevin Bacon was great. I thought all the actors were great. I just think the writing was just it. I don't know.
That shit gets a little goofy sometimes.
It went over the top with Manus. I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of weird how they're making these movies so goofy, and they're based on like such a serious medium, like comic books. And that's a wrap, folks.
Yes. Cool. They're a perfect place to end that. Thanks, Don.
They're like, don't have Don back. He's a dick.
Yeah, he likes the Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas special.
Towards the end of 2 hours, he was just an arrogant prick.
I thought he had good taste.
I mean, those are the finest trilogy. Yeah.
Is it the finest trilogy?
Yeah.
There's not very many good trilogies.
That's true. Because
so I think I might give it to you. They've all kind of floundered somehow. The Christopher Nolan, I think, floundered. They had great actors, but there's a number of missteps with that. Yeah. Star Wars, I think the third of the first of episode 6 was terrible. I really don't like that one. I don't know if there's any. I'm trying to think. I don't. I don't know there's been many trilogies that I've actually really liked. And so you may be right, maybe the best trilogy.
Oh, but you know what? In Indiana Jones is five movies now, so I can't even count. Or else,
well, if you count the first three, I don't think I liked the Temple of Doom, other than the, what's his name, the young boy?
Short Round.
Yeah, that's kind of a common thing about it's Dr. Jones to you, doll. And some of my kids and different people will say that.
Nice. You know what? Oh, shit, I never put that together. Yeah, I always say, like, at least once a week, no time for love, Dr. Jones.
Yeah, he was the best part of the movie. The rest of it was pretty... I'm trying to think, is there any others? I don't think there's any other trilogy. I'm trying to think whether trilogies ever have been.
Yeah. There aren't a lot. Oh, you know what? The Man with No Name, that's a trilogy. You know, Fistful Dollars for a Few Dollars More, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
But they weren't the same person, were they?
Yeah, they're all Sergio Leone, right?
So the trilogy isn't that the character's the same, it's just that the director did three of them.
Yeah, it's not really a trilogy. You're correct. I'm reaching. I just happen to have it in a box, and it says trilogy on it. Because it's all the same.
The best one's really Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, you know what? But there's no Christmas special, so it's knocked out of the water. Sorry. No, that is for all its missteps, like Elves at Helm's Deep, whatever.
I think the extended version, and I think the first one was too long, but I think all the changes they made, I think they made it better than the book. That's pretty controversial. Mm.
Yeah, that is a weird take. Turns out I do have better taste than Dr. Jones.
I think Tolkien meandered a lot, and I think he lost focus.
Yeah.
But you know what? He did what he set out to do.
My wife and I watch it every New Year's Day, the extended one, so it's like 12 hours.
Yeah, my kids would do that, and there's a point where I just can't do that anymore. Something's happened to my brain; it's calcifying. Mm. I can't do that anymore.
It's like the one day of the year that we actually will lay around and watch television. Other than that, we don't watch much. But it does get tiresome because the third one really is like all that, like looking at each other, Sam and Frodo. Like I could get it. You're like bros, and it's hard. Like, but can we speed it up? Can we get that ring?
I thought I think the first version where they just were in what's Rivendell, that just seemed to go on forever.
Oh yeah, especially in the extended cut because there's a lot of
yeah.
But there's like such key moments like when they're talking about how old Aragorn is. Like, I was like, oh man, that's awesome.
Oh no, they did a lot of really, really, really cool things, and I think also going back to, and I need to watch it again. Lawrence of Arabia.
No, not since I was a young child.
So like one of the earlier scenes, there's this like desert where Lawrence is, and he's at this well, and they're talking, and the guy gets him some water, and then all of a sudden this guy is shot, and then the person shot is way in the background. It takes a long time for that guy to actually get there, you know. But it's kind of interesting, like timing and pace, and trying to get a sense of that, you know, where modern audiences we're ready to move on to the next scene.
Right. That is a total thing. Like, I even found that I was showing my kid, like, classic Carpenter flicks, right? And
Karen Carpenter?
Escape from New York. Like, I was just like, this shot is so long and boring. Like, the truck just slowly driving up, and then it pans back to them, and it's just like, you don't need to do that. Like, it did not hold up as much as, say, the finest movie ever made, Big Trouble in Little China, which is perfect through and through.
It is a great movie. A lot of great quotable lines. I think the thing is, the same way my son was watching, wanted to watch 80s horror movies, and I'm not a big horror movie fan, but I said, you know, if I want to watch Halloween, and, you know, and it, I went and watched a little bit of it. It's like, it does not hold up. It is some really bad choices. Bad choices.
And that, yeah, that, and that's actually kind of the boring one, right? Where it's like,
yeah,
just the mom. Sorry, spoilers. Or is that Friday the 13th I'm thinking of? I think it's
Friday. Well, other people, no, a number of people get killed, but it's basically Jamie Lee Curtis, you know,
right? Yeah.
So, but then you think, well, but how did Alien do so well and get everything right and still be cinematically just perfect?
Oh, yeah. That's a fine film. It's almost as good as Event Horizon.
I need to watch that still.
Oh, man. Put it on your list.
It is. I just don't watch anything much, so.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Well, it is getting late.
It's actually, you're further in the future than I am, so.
Oh, yeah. I'm approaching when I said I would be in bed, but.
Well, you got 9 minutes, so I'll better let you go quickly.
All right. Thanks for having me on for the fourth, fifth, or sixth time.
Yes. And who knows how I air these in different orders. It could be a continuity. Weirdness.
Yes. All right. Five before three.
Ooh. Yeah. What will people do? They'll lose their minds.
It's the pulsating podcast.
Yes. And you're the crocodile god.
Woo.
All right. Take care, man.
Later.